Lacey, will you marry me?
Lacey Jordan stood frozen, looking down at her boyfriend, Brandon, who was kneeling in front of her on one knee. She was having an odd, out-of-body sensation, and she suspected that some of her essential physical processes had stopped working. For instance, she knew she couldn't have been hearing him right.
What? What did you say?
He was looking up at her with the brilliant, confident smile of an insurance salesman, or a guy in a toothpaste ad. She could see the comb tracks in the flawless, dark gloss of his hair. He laughed, apparently mistaking her shock for happy surprise.
Lacey, I asked if you would be my wife. You'd make me the happiest man in the world. Come on, say yes.
Was this some sort of reality TV setup? Was it some kind of elaborate joke? Lacey wondered if perhaps this was one of those dreams you had when you'd eaten too much pizza before bed. Brandon, I...
Say yes,
he said again. He fidgeted a little, and she could see that he was becoming annoyed at finding himself on his knee on a hardwood floor longer than he'd anticipated. Also, holding that ring out to her had to have been taxing, considering that the rock was almost as big as a bowling ball.
Lacey?
Instead of answering, Lacey imagined how happy her mother would be if she could see this scene. Nancy Jordan had set Lacey up with Brandon, a chiropractor, several months before, after Nancy had seen him for a bout of sciatica. Nancy, concerned about her daughter's single status, had immediately looked for a wedding ring on the young doctor's left hand and had found it blessedly absent. A chiropractor with a solid practice checked all of Lacey's mother's boxes. He was tall and attractive, and he was gainfully employed, with a 401k and a good health plan. Lacey's own boxes, the ones labeled passion, adventure, and romance, remained unchecked. But she'd given things a chance anyway because she was lonely, because she was past 30 and single, because she wanted a family, wanted children, and her prime childbearing years were upon her. And because, she could admit it, all of her three best friends were paired up, and she was jealous as hell. They all had happy relationships, and Rose was expecting a baby. And what the hell did Lacey have? A job at a coffee house and a trailer in her parents' backyard.
Lacey,
he said again, and she realized that she still hadn't answered him. Brandon, this is... sudden. It wasn't an answer, but it was, nonetheless, true.
Don't you like the ring?
He said. How could she not like the ring? It was a stunner, a 2-carat emerald-cut diamond with tiny round stones lining the band. She stared at it. It's gorgeous. He seemed to take that for her answer, in the absence of any other. He took her left hand and slipped the ring onto the fourth finger. It fit as though it had been made for her, and it occurred to her that it probably had been. She held out her hand and gaped at it, her mouth slack. Maybe she was hypnotized by the sparkle. Maybe she was influenced by his obvious confidence. Maybe she was thinking of the kids that would come with the package. Whatever it was that was clouding her judgment, she didn't object when he stood and enfolded her in his arms.
Lacey, sweetheart, you won't be sorry,
he murmured into her hair. Had she missed something? Had she missed, specifically, the part where she had said yes?
We're going to be so happy, he told her. You're going to be such a beautiful bride.
She stiffened slightly, and he held her away from him so he could look into her face.
Sweetie, what's wrong?
Nothing. She forced herself to smile. I was just thinking about what my mother is going to say. I'd better call her and tell her the news. But as she pulled out of his arms and grabbed her cell phone from the kitchen counter in Brandon's apartment, she couldn't have said for sure whether she really wanted to call her mom, or if she'd said it as an excuse to have a moment of blessed solitude.